Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, beginning at verse 19. "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows." Heavenly Father, once again, we open your word, and it's an honor and a privilege to be able to do so. In certain countries of the world, perhaps communist countries such as China, in Islamic countries such as Saudi Arabia and others, most people don't have Bibles to read. They may hear a sermon here or there. They may get some tract or some little pamphlet, but they don't have their own Bibles. I'm so thankful that here in America we have an opportunity to have our own Bible, to read it and to study it, and hopefully to live by it. Lord, help me today as I try to preach from it, and please give the people understanding. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. In this chapter, we read of Daniel's vision, one of several or many that he had. And he was shown 4 beasts, and these beasts are symbolic. It says in verse 17, "These great beasts, which are 4, are 4 kings, which shall arise out of the earth." The leopard, the bear, etc., they're symbolic of kings, or kingdoms. And this chapter mirrors chapter 2, where Nebuchadnezzar has this dream of an image, and then Daniel is called in to interpret it. And he said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Thou art this head of gold." He was that first king, and he's also mentioned here in this chapter, symbolized by the first beast, the lion that had eagle's wings. But we're studying end times prophecy, and to Daniel most of this was future. He lived during the time of Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdom of Babylon, and he prophesied that that kingdom would fall, and that the Medes and the Persians would take its place. And so it was. He also prophesied of the Grecian Empire, or the Empire of Greece, to him future, to us ancient history. Then the fourth kingdom, the fourth beast, or in chapter 2, the legs of iron. This is a symbol of the Roman Empire. Again, future to Daniel, but history to us. But Daniel asked the one that came and stood by, "I've seen these visions, but what do they mean?" And this being an angel, I don't know exactly who it was, but the one that stood by told him what the symbols meant. You know, I'm often amazed that modern-day preachers, modern-day prophets, so-called, they think they understand, and they're very quick to tell you what thus saith the Lord is. Daniel was given these visions, and in this chapter, he gets a visitor from heaven. In the next chapter, he gets another visitor from heaven. And he is afraid, it says. He's troubled by the things he's seen. The little bit he understands, he's troubled and afraid. He doesn't know what to make of it. He asks the visitor, and the one that stood by gives him an interpretation. I find a contrast. This is the man of God that the visions were given to, and then from heaven, someone came and stood by and gave him an interpretation. But today, we have people that claim to be prophets. They've not heard from heaven. They've not had one to come and stand by them. And they don't have a spirit of fear. They're not troubled about the future. They don't walk in humility. But Daniel says, then I would know the truth of this fourth beast. And he begins to describe again this fourth beast that was diverse from the others, exceedingly dreadful. He had teeth of iron and fingernails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. He didn't understand what all of this meant. But he goes on in his question and describes more about what he had seen. He said, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, the little horn, and before whom three of the horns fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, and whose look was more stout than his fellows. He said, I don't understand. I've seen the vision, and he describes what he saw, but he says, I don't understand. But then he goes on, in verse 21, I beheld, and that same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them. But then he says, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. The prophet says, I don't understand. I've seen great things. They've troubled me greatly. I can't sleep at night. I don't know what to make of this stuff. Please tell me what it means. But then in verse 23, we see more of the interpretation. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which was diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. But then he says, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. We said earlier that this fourth beast and the legs of iron symbolize the Roman Empire. And as we said, that's old history. That's a long time ago. But he says there's another little horn that's coming. And we understand through careful study that that little horn is the Antichrist. It says that the Antichrist will make war with the saints and prevail against them. I've preached on this program from the tail end, the last few chapters of the book of Zechariah, and painstakingly and with tears, I went over future events. The Jews have suffered. They've been suffering this month with the Gaza flotilla and what have you. But they suffered greatly in Germany and in Poland. They suffered in Russia. But the Bible says, again, according to the prophet Zechariah and others, that there will yet be a time of suffering. And their suffering will take place during a period known as the Great Tribulation. Again, a future event. But we read in verse 21 that he would make war with the saints and prevail against them. But then it says the Ancient of Days, Father God, would come. Hallelujah! God is coming. I know that Jesus will return, and we've studied that. But in the book of Revelation, it says that God's kingdom, New Jerusalem, would come down to earth, from heaven to earth, and God's throne, God's house, God's temple would be in Jerusalem. And I'm looking for that day. Hallelujah. But God's kingdom is coming, and the saints, the Jews, yes, will be with them. Christians are grafted into Israel, Paul said. But salvation, remember, is to the Jew first, and then the Gentile. Jesus Christ is coming back, and I'm looking for his return. But he's really coming back for the Jews. And this passage says that God's children, the Jews, will rule over the whole earth, and we will rule with them. Remember, Jesus told his disciples that they would sit on 12 thrones, judging the tribes of Israel. Skipping down to the end of the chapter, in verse 27, he says, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." But then in verse 28, and this makes me shout, he says, "Hitherto is the end of the matter." Hitherto is the end of the matter. We studied some time ago chapter 2 of this book, Daniel. And at the end of that vision, the stone came from heaven and smote that image on the feet and destroyed it. That stone ground everything into little bitty bits, powder. And then a great wind came and blew the chaff away. Then the stone increased in size and became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. One day Jesus will return to set up his kingdom and to put down all unrighteousness. No more sin, no more sickness, no more disease, no more crooked politicians, no more crime. It's going to be a great day when he comes back. But then he says, Daniel, hitherto is the end of the matter. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how this is going to end. If you're struggling, if you're suffering, if you've had a rough life, and I know a little bit about rough lives, in the end, if you follow the Lord, you're going to reign with him. You're going to have a mansion. You're going to walk on streets paved with gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Hallelujah. But Daniel asked the question, what about this little horn? And as I said, we understand the little horn to be the Antichrist, who at some point will be revealed. We need to understand that Satan is behind all evil. You can look back into Genesis, in chapter 3. Satan is the one that tempted Eve, and mankind fell into sin. And in the Great Tribulation, Satan will be the one that is behind the Antichrist. The word Antichrist, we understand what Christ means, but anti means against. The Antichrist is against Christ. He opposes Christ. When we preach the gospel that Jesus saves the sinner and delivers and heals the sick, and that he's one day coming again, Satan is against that. Satan is against you living for God, and he is the one that is behind the Antichrist. Turn with me quickly to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 4 says this, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased the golden city? And I'll go ahead and give this away. God addresses the king of Babylon. He says that the king of Babylon does this, he does that. But in verse 9 it says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Now that's some judgment, don't you think? Verse 11, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. He's talking to the king of Babylon, a man, we know these men, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. But then he begins to address the one behind the kings of Babylon. He says in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But, God says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Then he begins to speak, I believe, about the Antichrist. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake nations? And then he goes on in the next few verses to talk about the death of the Antichrist. And obviously you can read more about that in the book of Revelation. But we see the king of Babylon doing evil. But behind these evil men, and behind the Antichrist, is Lucifer, Satan. But this same idea is found in Ezekiel chapter 28. And instead of Babylon, God speaks to the king of Tyre. In verse 2, son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, and sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. And look at verse 3, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Then he goes on, describing the faults and failures of the king of Tyre. But God judges the king of Tyre. and if I had the time, I would tell you the story of Tyre. It was judged a very long time ago and never rebuilt, just as the Bible says. But then, in verse 11, God switches from addressing the man, the prince of Tyre, to addressing Satan, the king of Tyre, or the one that operated behind the prince of Tyre. But look at this description. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in the midst of thee in the day that thou wast created. But listen to this, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Verse 16, By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fire. So in these two chapters, Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, we find a description of the Antichrist and those that foreshadowed him, the king of Babylon, the king of Tyre. But we also see a picture and description of Satan, who operates behind evil men. In this passage we see a description of Lucifer, before he went bad, before iniquity was found in him, it says. He was with God. As we understand it, he was one of the archangels. But he rebelled against God. He said, and we read in Isaiah, that he wanted to be like God. Pride filled his heart. Sin and iniquity. Selfishness. Pride. Lucifer rebelled against God, and we know him now as Satan, the adversary of God. And he is the one that is going to be behind the Antichrist. And during the Great Tribulation, he will try to destroy the people of God, the Jews, once and for all. But he will fail, the Bible says. And the Jews will rule over the whole earth with the Lord Jesus Christ, when God comes to set up his kingdom on the earth.
The crowd was so tired and weary, lost and scattered everywhere, to the shepherd there. Without a shepherd's care, he felt of their infirmities so much that it made him weep. His heart was filled with pity and compassion for his sheep. Lord, please move.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.